Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, everybody. This is your boy, your host, Deacon Tracy Odom, coming from you live from the Bible Shop, July 5th, 2015. Again, we welcome you to the hottest Blog Talk Radio show for men called the Bible Shop. I'd like to introduce one of my co-hosts today, Ms. Katrina Hogan, which is my sister in Christ. We're here today to share a little life on life itself. You know, this is, a topic for the ladies, ladies' night out. I'm a queen looking for my king. You know, all this works in hand. You know, like I said, you know, this is the hottest talk show. Blog Talk Radio show for me called The Bible Shop. Before we get started, as we do every Sunday, I'd like to give honor to God who's first in my life. You know, I thank him for waking us up this morning, giving us the strength and our limbs to be able to do what we do. And like I said, before we get started, we're going to have my sister in Christ, my ace, Boom Boom. She's a new part of The Bible Shop, ladies and gentlemen. So, you know, when we have our latest night out, she's going to be just a woman that has just very anointed. And just, you have to meet her for yourself and just listen to her talk. So, ladies, you will have somebody that be speaking up for you guys, and some of you who will not want to speak up. But with that being said, like, we're ready to go on and get into the show. I have my sister Katrina lead us off in prayer.
All right, let us go to the throne of grace. Heavenly Father, we come to you in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, we do thank you for this blessed day that you have allowed us to see. Father, we give you all the honor, all the glory, and all the praise. We thank you for the Barbershop Radio show, Lord. We pray that you're going to bless it, Father God. We thank you that it's going to be very productive on today, that the women are going to reach out, Father God, that they can get answers that they have been seeking for. Father, I thank you for my brother Chauncey Odom. Father God, we keep him lifted up in prayer, Father God, as you continue to bless him, Father God, and his family. And Father God, that you're going to work mighty miracles, Father God, through this show. And we thank and praise you, Father God. And we pray that you would touch all of our heroes on today, Father God. And we thank you, Father, and we give you all the honor, all the glory, and all the praise. In your mighty name we do pray, Lord. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, my sister. Now we're ready to go into the scriptures from 1 Corinthians 11, verse 8 through 11. For man did not come from woman, but woman from man.
Mm-hmm.
Neither were man created for woman, but woman for man. For this reason, and because of the angels, the woman ought to have signs of authority on her head. 11, in the Lord. However, woman is not independent of man, nor is man independent of woman. For a woman came from man, also man is born of a woman. But everything comes from God. That was the scripture of 1 Corinthians 11, 8-12. That being said, let's get the show started. Katrina, how was your day today?
Well, I had a pretty good day on today, bro. I went to church and had an awesome time in the Lord. And I just thank God for allowing us to be here to see another day.
Amen. We had a good time of service today, like I told you earlier. We had two young ladies that rededicated their life back to Christ, which was awesome. The praise and worship team. Man, they brought us into, you know, brought the spirit up in there. We just had a great time. I think church is awesome whenever someone gets saved or rededicate their life to Christ. You know, that's two souls that went back out but came back to where they know what's the best thing to be on with God. And, you know, I think the angels and God was rejoicing real good today to see that. You know, like I said, anytime I see young people giving their life to Christ or rededicating their life to Christ, that means a lot. That means, you know, for me, just being up under the leadership that I am, knowing that my pastor and all his ministers that he's leading, doing a great job when you can get people joining the church.
Yes.
And these days the time, you know, we in a praying time. You know, like the old, like our grandparents used to tell us, God is coming back. You know, it's going to be sooner than we think. So if you look at all the stuff that's going on in the world today, you know, it's just amazing. You know, in the Bible, it said these things are going to come to pass. So I was just looking on Facebook a while ago. They said, I don't know, it was all over Chicago, 37 people were killed over the 4th of July weekend. And one of them was a 7-year-old kid.
Wow.
And 37 individuals losing their life.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Satan is really wrecking havoc. You know, he's doing what he said he's going to do. He kills and destroys, and that's what he's doing. But, you know, women, men, us, Christians, ones who are not saved, you know, this is praying time. You know,
yes.
Jesus is soon to come back. Well, we, you know, like it or not, he's coming.
That's right.
And he's giving all the signs and wonders of what's going to happen. You know, and I just pray for all, you know, my family, your family, and other families that have unsaved members in your family. You know, just keep praying for them. And hopefully one day, you know, like I said, we never know when Jesus is going to return, but just keep praying for your family members that one day they will see that, you know what, I can't keep living like this. I can't keep going through the same things that I'm going through and think things are going to get better. They will get better once you give your life to Christ. You know, I'm not saying to walk with God is easy. We have our ups and downs. You know, believe me, I just walk in easy, but and when the long run, when you look at it, it's worth it. So as long as you're being obedient to God and praying and fasting, he will bless you, even though, and he's blessing people who are not saved. But just imagine if you're not saved and he's blessing you, just imagine what he'll do when you are saved. You know, it's just amazing. I mean, you know, you tell people how good God is, and they see what God is doing in your life, but they still don't want to cry. You know, like they something, you know, when we was coming up, we was showing, you know, so we got a long time, you know, but we was still, you know, nowadays, you never know. I want to at least dedicate this to a Facebook friend of mine. He passed away a couple of weeks ago, and I think a couple of weeks before she passed, when I spoke with her on Facebook, and she wasn't sick. You know, you will always see on Facebook with a nurse. Her name is Camilla Austin, and I like to honor her today. You know, like I said, we never know when our time is up. 37, you know, if I'm not mistaken, she had a heart attack. And whenever I see her picture, it's just amazing how I don't know if anybody experienced it. You talk to somebody, and all of a sudden, a couple of days, a week, or a month go by, and they pass away. And that's just something to think about. We don't know when that time is coming. So, you know, I'm just, you know, praying that everyone who's listening to this show, you know, think about it. Think about the stuff that you're going through now, the things that's going on around in this world. We got young people dying left and right. You know, we was in our men's conference, and I think Elder Wilson, somehow said that this young man was with his grandpa. They were just hanging out. His grandpa was being a mentor. All of a sudden, that young man killed his grandpa. Just, you know, just think about what the people who was at church doing Bible study. They didn't know that was going to be their last time at Bible study. Took over to be with a strong vacation. Young man walking down the beach with a machine gun and just start killing people. So it's time to stop playing in every area in our life. It's time to stop playing and take life seriously. Because we never know when that day comes. You can be driving to work, somebody can be home. They can be driving, they don't lost their mind, they don't lost their job, they on a rampage, road rage, running you off the road, crashing into you. They can come in your job, you know, they can come into the mall or you in their shop or restaurant. You never know. So, you know, to the ones who are not saved, I'm praying that one day that you will realize that life is not promised. Life is too short to keep playing games. You know, as we say, you know, we grown there. Time to start playing them kids games. Time to be adults. You know, honestly, it's really time to be adults now. Start playing. You know, let's teach our young men and young women how to conduct themselves, how to be respectful, how to be responsible, hold them accountable for the things that they do. So we pray that if we leave here, our kids will take over and do better than what we've done. You know, I remember when I was coming up, you would see a lot of elderly people passing away. But now this generation, you have more young people, old people staying around longer than others. You know, you got some people here to see 115, 103, 109. We got kids out playing in the playground. Like I said, what happened in Chicago, 7-year-old kid get shot. His life was just beginning. He was supposed to be enjoying life with no worries, not paying no bills, just being a kid. And some irresponsible person taking that little kid. You know, I just want, you know, let everybody know life is too short to be playing around. It really is. Ladies, it's too short. Men, it's too short. Everybody, life is too short to be playing around.
Yes.
So I just want to say that my heart goes out to those families in Chicago that were lost this weekend. You know, still the families in South Carolina, you know, the barbershop owners, you guys, we love you, and God is in control. He has the last say so, everything. So, with that being said, you know, last week we had an awesome ladies' night out. You know, my sister gave some good advice to a caller, and during the show, God laid it on my heart to do another ladies' night out. You know, I was speaking with someone the other day, and I just seen a lot of women speaking negative over me and downing me and calling them all kinds of names. You know, I even reached out to them. I said, it's funny how you can put your business out there on Facebook about what us men are doing, but then when you got a format to come out and speak, like the barbershop, you know, it's for the men, but God laid it on my heart to do the ladies' night out again to get the ladies' opinion. You know, what's going on in your life? What's going on? What you looking for in a man? Or what you expect of a man? Even with your kid's father that's not in their life, what you expect of him? You know, like I said once before, you know, ladies, don't be so harsh on them. You know, I asked a question last week, do you really know the value of a man?
Mm-hmm.
And it's hard being a man. You know, women say, you know, yeah, we strong, but we cry too. We got feelings too. Believe me, it's sometimes that we just feel like, some men just feel like giving up. I've done it before. But, you know, but now that I have God in my life, I know that's the last resort, or never will give up. So as long as I have God, you know, things might not be peaches and cream, but I know when I go through that storm, there's a way out of that storm, and his name is Jesus. You know, so, you know, like the topic today is for women, not me. I'm a queen looking for my king. You know, last week, like I said, we talked to women, we never know. If you have to be up front with a man, let him know what you expect him to bring to the table. But you also have to let him know what you bring to the table. You know, I can't stand, you know, where men and women bash each other, try to tear each other down, when we ought to be doing inventory on ourselves. You know, that's the main thing. Do an inventory on yourself before you start pointing a finger at somebody. You know, but once you point one finger at another person, you've got three more pointing back at yourself. So it's best to evaluate yourself. You know, I did a topic, what's in your suitcase? You know, that goes for women too. What do you have in your suitcase? You know, women ask for a good man, but, you know, like you say, that good man comes. You don't know how to treat him. So you so used to somebody abusing you, calling you all kinds of names, whether it's mentally or physically. You know, it works both ways. You know, You got to know, you can't bring old luggage to a new relationship. You know, you have to clean up your mess before you get into a better relationship, because it goes, like I said, it goes both ways. A man can't take it out on this woman because of his past relationship with other women. And a woman can't take it out on a man for what she went through. Because when you get that good man, that might be the man that God, that your heart desires and God sent it to. And then when he comes to help take care of you, or if you have kids, he treats your kids right like they're his, and all of a sudden you can't handle it. You know, that's why, both men and women, we have to evaluate ourselves. We have to, you know, check our suitcase. It's amazing, you know, how we down each other instead of lift each other up. You know, I tell the women, you know, second time we're giving you the opportunity to come on the show, express yourself. Let us know what is it about men that you don't like. So when we go back to doing our show with the men, we can sit down with the men and let them know. You know, like I said, it's hard for us being a man, period. I don't care what color the man is, what color his race is, it's hard being a man, period. So we have too much stuff being, you're the head, you're the authority of your household, you're the head of your household, and that's a lot on us. And then when one area is not right, then it kind of hurts us, and we don't need to be beat down. We don't need to be talked about. We need to be lifted up. We need to be encouraged. And I'm not saying all women don't do that. It goes both ways. You have some women to do it. You have some men to do it. But then you have something out there that when a man is down, they completely jump slam on him. And that hurts a man, especially when, you know, he got to go out there and try to provide and do the things that he needs to do to take care of the family. But then he come home and got to hear this stuff when he come home. Hey, he gonna be mad. He gonna snap. But if he's doing that, you know, trying to provide for the family, what's wrong with the woman if she's not working, taking care of the kids, making sure the house is up clean, making sure when he come home, he have a hot meal, or you ask him how his day was, let him relax. But if he come home, there's nothing done, what you expect him to do? What's your take on that, Master?
Yes, I'm here.
So, what is your take on what I just said?
Everything that you were saying is true. I just wanted to kind of ask a question myself about when a man and a woman meet, and if that man is still, you know, full of hurts, and just say if, you know, that was the man that, you know, God has sent, how would a woman deal with a man who's been hurt, you know, without, you know, causing any more pain or, you know, just even discouraging him, you know, what would a woman do in that case?
Well, my opinion is if two people meet in that situation and he knows what he's best doing, and he knows this woman is good, that's when, like I said, you have to let her know. Neither one of us, men nor women, are mind readers. So, and it's probably going to be hard for him to open up. But eventually, he's going to have to say something. But it's best to go ahead and say up front so she'll know what not to do. She might be able to in them areas, lift them up, with all women to be able to lift their man up, you know, regardless, you know. Mm-hmm. But my thing is, he has to open up. That's one mm-hmm. thing that we, you know, we try to do on the barbershop. We try to encourage men to open mm-hmm. up. Don't be afraid to let another man or that woman you with about your past. Because if you don't let that person know about your past, and she do something, then it might trigger your mouth. She being, you know, like we said last Sunday, don't compare them to your past relationship. Because they're right. not like that. You know, you can't jump all on her, or she can't jump all on him when mm-hmm. knowing that you haven't told each other your past. That's why I said it's best, you know, we have to open up and put on the table. But I think if you met that person, just put everything out on the table. This is what I've been through. This is the past relationships I've been through. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't want to go that route again. And once you tell that person that, if that person has a choice to either mm-hmm. stick around or to leave, and same here for the person that told it. You know, once they tell it, oh, okay, is this what you've been through? And you know, if you know you like that guy, you can work on it. You just mm-hmm. have to be up with each other. You can't sit back and wait till the middle of the relationship, and all of a sudden, then you want to say, this is what I've been through. You know, for me, for instance, you know, I let my wife know what I've been through, and she let me know what she's been through. So when we was dating, I tried not to do the things that she said she went through. Because when you do the things that a person has been through, it triggers mm-hmm. their mind like, man, I ain't trying to go through this again. No, not this. And it makes them think about what they went through. You know, because I've done that before. Mm-hmm. But like I said, you have to, when you're praying for that man or that woman that your heart desires, you have to be specific to God and let God know what you're looking for, which he already knows. He just wants you to come to him. And I think it's just best you just open up, okay? Such and such, this is what I've been through. I don't want to go through this again. You know, he might have went through it as well. And both of y'all, okay, we can, we both been through this. It's just about communication, sit down and talk about your past relationship. That way you'll know. But then when the time goes on, still study him or her when they mm-hmm. come home from work or when they're on the phone or when y'all hanging out together. Always pay attention to that other person. Especially if someone come home from work and you see him come in the house and he's mad or he's tired or he just don't want to be bothered. Don't sit there and just let him walk through the house. I mean, say hey. If you know you're upset, say, go do what you gotta do. You're gonna be ready in 3 minutes or how long you played up. Give him time to email the Wilson said. Give that man time enough to come home and to relax. Because eventually he's gonna talk about his day. But if you just jump right on him so he walks through the house, he's already tired and frustrated with the job, you know, been probably stuck in traffic. You know, vice versa, even when a woman comes home from work. You know, majority of the time, when a woman comes home from work, it's mentally with the woman working than it is with mm-hmm. a man doing physical work. But, yeah, you just have to open up, you know, and ask them. If, you know, don't, you know, jump all on, you know, ask them, you know, what you've been through, you know, what type of relationship you had, what type of women have you dealt with? If he don't say nothing, sometimes you might have to start that conversation. Mm-hmm. Or if you just tell him where you've been, what type of relationship you've been in, and I don't want to go through it, and you just talk to him, and all of a sudden, you never know, he might open up. But if he don't say nothing, then once you get a chance to ask him, you know, keep asking, but don't just keep cracking across his head and trying to make him answer. But like I said, you have to study that person. But, you know, just have that compassion, love for them. Be like, okay, is it that bad that you want to talk about it right now? Then if so, then okay, we'll talk about it later. And then you show him compassion because he probably went through relationships. He didn't ever have one who was so concerned about how his day was or what he's going through or anything you want to talk about. You know, that could be the problem too, why he's not saying. But, you know, you just have to really observe and pay attention and ask questions. You know, it's all about communicating. That's my take on it.
Well, this right here is really helping me out a lot from when I do go into that next relationship, you know, the do's and the don'ts. And like you said, that, you know, communication is very important, because if you never talk about stuff, you're not going to know anything.
That's right.
So even when I was married, I learned, you know, a lot of stuff by way of, you know, when not to mess with him, you know, let him, you know, get himself together, coming in from work. I was that type of wife where I just automatically, you know, comforted him or fixed his food, so when he walked in the door, he was straight.
Mm-hmm.
So like I said, this is really helping me, because, you know, that's how you'll have a productive relationship. And even, you know, when God is the head of that relationship, you already know it's going to work.
Yeah.
And when God puts something together, you know, let no man put asunder. And another important key, too, is that when you are in an active relationship, don't post it all over Facebook. Don't let people in your business, because that's how relationships end. That's how, you know, just stuff, just he say, she say, all kind of stuff. Just, you know, keep that between you, that person, and God. And I'm telling you,
mm-hmm.
your relationship will last and it'll go far.
Mm-hmm. That's even with marriage. You know,
mm-hmm.
with married men hanging with single men, married women hanging with single women. You know, why? Because, you know, to me, I mean, you, like you said, you have to be careful who you tell your business to. So if you got some, you tell all your business how good your husband is to you, how good your wife is to you, that person probably in a bad relationship and frustrated
mm-hmm.
or don't tell nobody, and hey, they going to be mad. But there's nothing wrong. I think when you talk to single, you have to be careful, especially if you don't know that person. So you never know what might trigger them. Oh, so he got a good one. When I see her, he probably going to see y'all together and see her out by herself or with her friends. He might say something, vice versa.
Right.
Or one of them might do the same thing. You know, so that's, like I said, that's one of the things we try to encourage the men when we talk to the men, is open up. You know, again, that's why I thank God for doing, you know, leading this on my heart again, doing another show for the women. You have a lot of women who are out here complaining about me. You know, now that you have an opportunity or a format or somewhere you can open up and get some advice from a man's point of view and from a woman's point of view, you know, but you can talk about it all on Facebook. When it comes to talking with other people who've been through stuff and can give you good advice, ministers, elders, or people of God, you know, that can give you some kind of advice, you don't want to join in. You know, but then when that time comes that you done got that man that's being disrespectful, or you done got that woman that's being disrespectful, then you want to complain. But when you have the opportunity to sit down in a group and talk about relationships, a lot of people don't want to talk about relationships until they get bad, until somebody done did something they ain't got no business.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think if you want to have a good relationship, it's got to be God. God got to be first. It got to.
That's right.
You know, I think, like I always say, I thank God for my wife. You know, our marriage is not perfect. We had our ups and downs, but it's the grace of God that keeps us together.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's what any relationship, if you got the love of God in your relationship, in your marriage, then you're going to be all right. Yeah, you're going to have your ups and downs. But then, just like you said, it all goes back to communication.
That's right.
That's what it goes like. It goes back to communication. And if you really look at it, it still leads to the man. The man is the head. He has to have that communication. If
mm-hmm.
a man is not serving God or have God in his life, what makes you think that, you know, that woman is going to listen to you. You're not serving God. You're not doing what you're supposed to as a man, even with the kids. If you're not doing what you're supposed to, what makes you think when kids don't respect you?
Right.
You know, and I learned a lot, too. Some women don't like that word submissive.
Right.
I put that word submissive on Facebook. She told me she hates that word. I don't like giving nobody no power over me, no person or nothing power over. I said, no, that's not what submissive is. Submissive
right.
is you being submissive to the God in that person, not to that
mm-hmm.
person.
Right.
You got to understand, some people take that word submissive. They take it being submissive, but it's controlling.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't say nothing about being controlling. If you're in a relationship where that woman or that man is in control, that's trying to control your mind, hey, it's trying to burn the road up. Yeah. You know, because that's not of God. Especially a man of God, he's supposed to be a servant. You know, he's supposed to be able to be submissive to his wife as well as his wife being submissive to him. It's that God in him. Because if a woman see her husband or her fiance, boyfriend, or whatever, he says, sure, he's a man of God, and he's doing what God said him to do as being a man, she would not have no problem being submissive to him. And it would be the same way with a man. If his wife was doing what God called her to do, have compassion, she's reading her word, she's praying, she's fasting, she's sticking by your side, she ain't going to have no problem being submissive. If she asked him to do something, and vice versa. Or you shouldn't even have to say nothing. You come in the house, oh, boom. Like we were talking about. You come in the house, he knows he's being submissive to his wife. And she's being submissive to him. He come in the house, boom, general rest. You think he ain't going to sit there and do what he's supposed to do in the house? If she come with her honey-do list, you think he ain't going to do what she asked him to do? Because when
mm-hmm.
he comes, she gives him his space, he relax. He winds down, he plays with the kids before they go to bed, they eat dinner together as a family. You know, because sometimes, well, me personally, my wife will wait for me to come home before she would eat them. She might feed our daughter, or they both wait. And you think I'm going to have a problem doing anything she asked me to do? I ain't going to do that. So she's showing me how much she loves me and the God that's in me, come on. That should be the same way with a man. When this woman come home, or he knows she's tired, okay, my wife is tired, get the kids with their homework, she come home, general gonna be ready. You think she gonna have a problem when she come home from work, you don't cook general for her? No, she ain't gonna have no problem with that. She gonna be, what, my husband could get this, he did this for me? Yeah. It's a little small, little simple thing in a relationship that keeps the relationship going. I don't care if it's married, if you're dating, just friends, you know, learning each other. It's a little simple thing. That goes with a man and a woman. A little simple thing means a lot. You ain't got to go out there and do nothing big and lavish or nothing. It's a little simple thing.
Yeah.
You know, it's a little simple thing. You know, I see we got a couple of people that called in. If anybody out there have any questions or comments or just want to say hey, feel free to press 1. You know, we'll let you in and say what you got to say. You know, but that's what my opinion to the question that you asked. You know, like I said, it goes back to communication. And it goes back to that man being who he's supposed to be. I think if us men would do what God called us to do, step up, take our rightful place, you will see a lot of things changing in our government, our schools, our churches, our homes, even marriages, even stronger relationships, period, will be stronger. You know, that's what a woman is looking for, a strong man. But like I say, that's why I asked that question. Do women know value of a man? That's something to think about. You know, because, you know, and the Bible say, you know, to me, why are you going to go out here looking for a man? And then when you go with a man looking for a woman, you better be careful. So you might just get what you ask him to look for is a woman or a man. You might get what you ask for. That's why I said you have to be specific. You know, I'm not saying that you got just everything and anything, but you got to be specific on what you want. You know, I said, so just my opinion, I think now women are looking for that strong man that has God in his life. But like I said last Sunday, we talked about, you still have to be careful because you have some men in church that they just in there to say they in there to use that to get a woman. So you have to have that discernment or you have to pray. Like I said, God will let you know if that's the man for you, if that's the man that your heart desires.
Mm-hmm. Yes, he will.
That's how
and
it is.
It takes patience as well, you know, to wait on God to send that right one. Like I said, you know, we go out there and we be searching or doing this and that to try to find that man. And a lot of times, us as women, we looking for love in the wrong places. And then we bring about so many problems in our life, and then we end up getting hurt, you know what I'm saying, and mistreated and just not appreciated because we was not patient enough to wait on God. So, like I said, I'm encouraging the ladies to please wait on God because he knows exactly what we need and when to send that person, I'm telling you. And it's going to show you why all the other relationships failed. Because when God has somebody for us, he's going to keep us set aside for that person and nobody can come and take that place that don't belong there. So I'm a living witness to that because God has showed many men up that was not the one. So when that right one comes, I'm telling you, you're going to see that it was well worth the wait. So, ladies, just please be patient and wait on God and seek God's face about it.
Amen. I got a question for you. Not saying that you've done this, but, you know, I mean, how can I ask this question? A good way to ask this, you know, this question. I mean, because I know it's a lot of women. Well, give me one reason why women like to bash men. Well, I know us men are not perfect. Some men have
to. Why they like to bash?
Yeah.
Oh, I can tell you why.
Why?
It's really like a couple of reasons, but sometimes when women bash a man, it's because they are not over on a lot of hurt and anger from other relationships, other men. And then when they finally do meet that right one, he's going to catch all of that that they ever been through because they're not delivered from that. And a lot of times, too, women have babies by these different guys and thinking that baby's going to keep that man there. No. Just because a woman have a baby by a man, that man is not going to stay. That's not going to keep a man. But a lot of times us women, we are angry, and then when that right one comes, we just let y'all have it because, you know, you're a man for one thing, and we're just not over what the other one did. But it's due to just being angry and just, you know, holding all this hurt in. So when that right one comes, she can't appreciate it because of what the other man has done. So I just thank God for just setting me free from all of that stuff. So when I do walk into my new relationship, I won't have all that baggage of hurt and all of this stuff that man done to me. I cannot hold that next man accountable because he had nothing to do with it. He was not even on the scene. So it's just because of just them us being angry and just hurt.
So is that the same answer you just gave? Is that the same thing where it's why it's so hard for a woman to forgive a man?
Well, say that again.
Why is it so hard for a woman to forgive men? To me, if you, well, like I said, when you, it's easy to forgive. So once you forgive, you relinquish that power from that person. But if you don't forgive them, they really have control. This is my opinion. They have control over you. And while you sitting there being miserable, they sitting out trying to enjoy themselves. They're not even thinking about it. But why is it so hard for a woman to forgive, period?
Well, this is a prime example for what I endured. You know, like when I was married, when my ex-husband left, it took me years to forgive him. And that's because everything was built up and all the stuff that he had, you know, had done to me and the children. And I even had to speak out and say, I'm still struggling with unforgiveness. And that's because I was holding on to this type of thing like a crutch. And I felt like, in other words, it's like some women feel like if I let this go, then I'm not going to have nothing to hang on to. You know, they just use it as a crutch because they feel like once all that is gone, they're not going to have nothing else. But it is very, very, very important to let go of that unforgiveness, because when you don't forgive a person, that brings about sicknesses in your life. You holding all these things in place. And how do one expect God to come in and move if you don't want to let that forgiveness, that unforgiveness go? And I'm telling you, when God set me free and gave me a forgiving heart, I can face that man on today. And even if he was hungry and he come to me, I will see him. And that's because I allow God to come in and change my heart. And a lot of us women, we'll hold on to that, you know, unforgiveness and stuff and bitterness. And that man done moved on and he done settled, you know what I'm saying, and he's happy. But we still holding on to that. But I'm telling you, it's not worth it. And it's just because they just so angry and they just want to just, you know, do something to that man. But I'm telling you, it's not worth it. Let God come in and change that heart around. And I'm telling you, he'll give you something better than what you had before.
If anyone out there would like to make a comment or ask a question, feel free to press 1. This is the Hottest Blog Talk Radio Show, the Barbershop. We're doing a ladies' night out. I'm a queen looking for my king. And my co-host is riding with me shotgun today. It's my sister in Christ, Katrina Hogan. Like I said, ladies, she's on point. I thank God for, you know, putting her on the panel with me and my main man, Jerome, because we have to have a woman's point of view up here, not just a man's point of view. I think once you get a man's point of view and a woman's point of view on life itself, it'll really help. Like I said, this show is really that it's a format for the men, but we also help the women as well, because we both have to work together, you know.
As a team.
There's so many words, like the scriptures I read about. God made woman from man, not man from woman. A woman is here to help the man. The women, y'all are our helpmates. And, some men understand that. Well, we still have some men that don't understand what a helpmate is. Some men can have a good woman and just plain old treat them bad. But you got to understand, a man might not have seen that in his life. He might have seen that's all his dad did to a woman. You know, that's all they might have seen their mom went through, a man mistreating them. You know, it's even when they have kids, the kids ain't seen their father. So, you know, it's easy for these guys to lock in and have babies and go on about their business. But they seen their dad. That's the reason why, you know, people don't understand this generation curse out here. You know, so these generation curse has to be broken. Why not start from you, me, whoever's listening? You got a generation curse in your family. Why don't you put your foot down and ask God, like my sister said, when it comes about forgiveness and not having that compassionate heart for somebody. You know, ask God to mend that heart. I mean, everybody has had a broken heart before, men and women. So, you know, why not ask God to come in and clean your heart? You know, because once we do this, and we can get along together. You know, not all men are bad. Not all men are bad. Some of the men just haven't seen how it is to be a husband, how to be a father. We were never taught that. You know, you got some men out here now that their dad is ripping and running the street or locked up. You know, that's all they know. That's all they've seen their dad do. But then you got some women forgiveness, but Just another, I know I had a question. I don't know if you've done it before. Why do some women, because I've been in this situation before, where the dad wants to be in the kid's life, that woman don't want him to be there, but then when you got this other kid, you got another child by another man, he don't want no part of it. But you will have more respect for him than you will for the man who wants to be in that kid. Like, I explain that to me.
Well, you know what? That's because that woman knows that man was a good man. So what she's trying to do is, by not letting him see that child, she's trying to hurt him, to break him down, because she's hurt and broke down. So that's why, you know, a lot of women, they say, no, you're not seeing this child. So it's just only payback, and it's her holding that, you know, unforgiveness. And also, through a damaged woman's eyes, she's going to look and see that all men are bad, no matter how good they may be. And it's just a sad situation, because, you know, they just won't allow God to come in and change them. But I'm speaking to the ladies. I'm going to tell you something. If you don't allow God to come in and make them changes, you're going to miss your blessing. Just keeping it real, you're going to miss your blessing.
Amen. Okay, callers, I mean, my sister Trina doing a lot of talking. You know, we want some input from the people who called in. You know, if you have any questions or you have any comments to what we said, feel free to press 1. We would like to, this is a show where we like to have interaction, not just us talking. We would like some feedback. We would like some questions, some comments. Even if you just want to say, hey, praise the Lord, thank you, Jesus, say something.
Yeah.
This is your barbershop. This is where, you know, we all can get along together. You know, this is about relationships today. You know, a woman looking, a queen looking for her king. You know, just basically what we're talking about. You know, there's a lot of things that prevent women from finding that king, a queen finding her king. You know, with that being said, you know, this, like I said, we just want to ask some people to open up and just say something. Katrina, we got somebody that wants to say something. Your last 4 number, 3179, 3179. You're on the air.
How you doing? God bless you.
Hey, Ella Wilson. God bless you.
Good, good. I am enjoying this. I'm enjoying my sister. I'm enjoying the wisdom she's given, and even her sharing with other sisters about losing a blessing if they don't let go of things. But from a man's view, I want to help. Even hearing more of what she's saying is so true. But I commend her for that wisdom and then going through the process. Most people don't go through the process and then allow God to heal them. So therefore, when they get in a relationship, they're already bringing that there's a big word called malice. Called malice, M-A-L-I-C-E. And most women or even men that are being hurt, the word malice is in their life where the enemy uses that. It's a demonic thing that demons use to keep people in bondage, and they're just trying to get back at somebody. They're trying to pay somebody back for pain or hurt. Most people don't understand it. I was looking at from Ephesians 3, chapter 4, 31 and 32, and it says this: let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. Those scriptures there, when they're taught correctly in the body of Christ, then what happens is it allows people to see themselves when they break the words down. You know, you think about what bitterness is. It's beyond hurt, but it's been there festering for a long time. And some people that have been hurt, some things have festered, and they got inside to that spirit man, and the emotion act that bitterness out. They're snappy. They're short. Or sometimes they won't even say anything. You know, they're made to ask them a question, and they ignore them. So it is this bitterness, there's a root of bitterness deep inside. So most women and men, they don't know that's there. And then what happens is it stays there, it turns into wrath. And wrath is a deeper anger. It is trying to get someone back really harsh. You really want to hurt them bad. You want to hurt their checkbook, or you want to hurt them, make them lose their job, or you want to hurt them in a relationship, like even with the children. That's why some women hold back their children from their men, because they're trying to hurt them with the relationship with the children. They don't want that man to be in that child life because they feel like they violated them. So I'm not going to let them have that time with the child at our birth. They don't realize that the DNA caused that child to be in that life of that woman, period. So they don't see that. They don't see it was two people that God gave an inheritance. So that would happen. And then it says with clamor. Clamor shows that you're out of control when you're speaking to one another. So if the person has pain and they're angry, they'll raise their voice. They won't know how to speak civil. The word of God said, let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt. So a lot of times they don't know how to speak with grace. They don't know how to speak to show favor to the other person because they're hurting inside. And the emotion of a woman is very, very, very important. A woman is very relational. God made her that way. She's the emotional part that keeps that conversation in the house. She keeps the atmosphere. The term that we've heard a lot of time is, if mama not happy, the whole house is not happy. So it's important that men recognize that they got to apologize to the women. They got to be recognized. If you hurt the woman, you need to go back to her because what you're doing is you're killing not only her, but you're killing the child and anybody in the house with her. You're going to damage them that they can't relate. So I commend my sister for saying that, you know, she went through the process of letting go. She won't let nobody put her in bondage. She won't be acting in malice and trying to get back at him, but she let him go. Now what happened? Now God can send a Boaz. Because she's free. A Boaz won't find you if he sees the hurt. A Boaz, a prince, know what a princess is. So when a prince sees a princess, he knows she's valuable. He won't treat her any kind of way. He make sure she's not hurt. He makes sure that he don't walk on her. So with women, it's just letting go is important to allow men to be able to come in your life freely by God. And then at the same time, then when he comes in your life, he can be a valuable man. He can be a protected, covering man. That he'll protect that woman, not only physical, he'll make sure that no one will walk on her mentally or emotionally or even spiritually. He makes sure that when people talk to his woman, that he watch them. He'll watch them. A good man will watch anybody else, how they look at his woman. He'll watch them. And that's what God wants. He wants that the women let go, that a good man can come and be the protector they should be, and that also, too, that the woman, she can be the flower that brights the whole house up. She can be the sunshine that when a man come home, that he, I don't care what he's going through, that she can be the happy woman that makes his day when she get there.
Is anybody else out there having comments or would like to say anything? Like I said, feel free, but it's one. This is the hottest blog, talk radio show, The Barbershop. This show is dedicated to the ladies night out. I'm a queen looking for my king. We have been getting some good words today. I'm just enjoying it. And I encourage ladies and men, you know, to join us every Sunday at 6 o'clock. So we have the love and compassion for our brothers and sisters, even the one that's not saved. We have so much love and compassion, and we try to make this show where you can open up and express yourself. Since we've been doing this show, we have had a lot of people that open up, you know, don't have problems now talking to people, you know. Like I said, I got a couple of coworkers now. They listen to the show. They ask for scriptures every morning. So whenever we touch one, we know here on the Barbershop, we're doing what God called us to do, and we know this is a show of God. You know, like I said every time, you know, I thank God for giving me this assignment, you know, to build a format for the men. And I'm just letting the ladies know that all men are not saved. We're not. You have some, like I said, that haven't been taught how to be a man. Don't, you know, never seen it in their life. So you can't jump on them for being that way. Because some of them haven't seen it. Then you got some that do. But, you know, all the things we can do for them is just pray for them to ask God to rebuild them, restore them. And that's the reason why we have a barbershop. So when men are in that situation, they can come to the barbershop and get some good advice for the brothers. For me, Elder Wilson, Jerome, you know, us three, we have that compassionate heart for our brothers. You know, we know it's some good some good in every man and woman. Some of us have to be pushed harder than others. Some have you really have to break them down and let them see reality, what it's all about, you know. And that's one thing, you know, we're trying to get the brothers to understand there's nothing wrong with talking to another brother about life, about relationships, about God, about anything. Because it goes with women, too. We never know what a person's going through until we talk to them. And you could be amazed if you just say, hey, hello, how you doing, or how was your day? That person might just all of a sudden just start talking and expressing how they feel. That's why I thank my sister Katrina, because, like I said, y'all, this woman has been through a lot. And I've heard her testimony. I spoke to her plenty of times, and I felt her hurt when she talked. But to see her now, to listen to her now, speak with a lot of wisdom, you know, like she said, she released it. She gave it to God. She let God do what he had to do within herself. And look what happened. That's a testimony right there. So you women, don't be afraid to let, all means, don't be afraid to let God come into your life and do what he has to do. You'll be amazed when he ripped that stuff off of your heart and give you a new heart to where you can show love and compassion. That's what me and you can get that woman your heart desires. You can get that Proverbs 31. Women, you can get that Boaz. Like I always say, you know, I got my Proverbs 31. I went through a whole lot. I went through a process myself from a man's point of view. I went through that process. So when I had my second marriage, when I had my heart, my self-esteem destroyed, it was about me. I didn't care what woman I hurt. Didn't care. Because I was hurt. I was, you know, my self-esteem was tore down. I was like, man, why? You know, okay, I'm going to get back at every woman I've run across. I didn't care. So, men, we've been hurt too. So there's nothing wrong with you expressing that you've been hurt. If you don't let a woman destroy your self-esteem or she did this or she did that. All of us have feelings. And, you know, like I said a while back on one of my shows, I have one of my boys that's from out of Atlanta. He came and spent the weekend with him. His wife was going through some things. So we were sitting on the front porch and we were talking. Then all of a sudden, he came out his mouth. He was like, you know what, bro? He said, I'm hurt. All of a sudden, he just started crying.
Amen.
I respect him for today than I did before he opened up like that. Because he opened up. It don't make you a weak man. Okay, I'm tired of being, you know, women saying he's weak because he cries. No, he's not. He's strong. Mm-hmm. If a man can come out and admit that he's been hurt, he's strong. Mm-hmm. A weak man is the one who's going to keep it built up, trying to be hard, trying to walk around with that Superman shirt on, that cape on. But then when he gets behind them four walls, he's crying like a baby.
Yeah, amen. Amen.
That's the reason why I thank God for the barbershop. You know, this is what we do. We encourage men to open up. We really do. And it's just amazing. And now we're trying to encourage the women to open up. And we want you women to open up because we want to know how we can help our brothers be that man that y'all. The king that y'all looking for, the Boaz, that man that you want to spend the rest of your life with. We can't do that if you women don't express how y'all feel. You know, that's why we have Katrina on the show telling from a woman's point of view to help the women out. That's all we ask. We ask you to open up and express how you feel. I see we got Jerome just came in. 0424. Roman, you on the air?
What's up, buddy?
What's going on, man?
How you doing?
I'm doing good. We got our sister in Christ on the call with us again today, Katrina. And we got our buddy Elder Wilson riding shotgun with us today. So hey, you know how it is when we get us three men get together. Now we got a sister. Who that we glad to have so she can help the women out. And, you know, like I said, I thank God for me asking her to join the,
Deacon Chauncey.
Yes.
Can I tell a testimony real quick?
Yeah, go ahead, Elder.
Years ago, I, in my relationship with my children, mother, my first wife, I was going through a circumstance and situation, and a book called The Pearls of Power, and it was dealt with men that in authority and how the leaders go through. And being in ministry for years, I've been in ministry for 33 years, I was going through some pain, some hurt. And what it was is because the word from another man shared with me that I had to be able to confide to another man, it allowed me to go to a brother in Christ that was a friend, another minister. And I went to, I called him, I went to his house, and we talked. And as I started sharing with him, I only shared pieces with him. And what it was is that I shared pieces with him, I was going to try to hold back. And the Holy Spirit said, let them know the whole truth of what you're going through. And what it was, because I was going in a relationship with my children, mother, and I was hurt because of what was going on, I finally let go, let them know I had let my guard down. I let other women get close to me. Well, what happened was that I was allowing them to hug me or allowing them to get too close. And what happened when I opened up and shared that with him, then the pain that was inside that was causing me to let them get close, I began a flood of tears begin to come. And right on his front porch, I cried like a baby. Because what it was is I was hurting so deep inside, and I was holding it in. You know, behind the cloth of being a minister, behind the cloth of helping other people, behind the cloth of counseling other people, I was hurting. I was hurting deep inside. It was a deep scar. And he sat on that porch, he just let me cry. He just let me cry. He just let me cry. And I learned that most times, most men, they're hurting. I was hurting, but they don't let it out. And when I let that out, then God began to mend me and heal me inside. So when I tell people about getting free from the pain and the anger, I understand I was hurt, which caused the anger, which caused the bitterness. I was hurt, which also caused, you know, you want to get back, you want to say things negative about your mate. But things you don't want to do that because you damage your mate, you damage yourself. But the pain caused me, I was crushing. And most men and women, they're crushed inside because Satan has pushed us to the end of the board and trying to push us off the ship. He's trying to make us go into the deep water and drown. But what you got to do, you got to let it out and tell somebody else you can confide in. And I'm glad you got the barbershop right here because many people, they're hurting, but they won't let it out. They won't let it go. And until they let it go, God can't heal them. He said, for the spirit of heaven, he gives the garment of praise. Until I let it go, he never could talk to me. Because God couldn't get into me. He couldn't speak to me because I was hurting too deeply. And I was allowing the enemy to push me deeper and deeper. So Katrina, there are men that have gone through. They're hurting themselves. So a lot of things they're doing to women, they're doing it because they also themselves are hurting. And they don't know how to deal with it. And they deal with it in a negative, wrong way. So I just share that testimony with you guys.
Thank you, Elder Wilson. That's true. You know, because like I said, I went through a lot of stuff, and that's why I could be in with the men's ministry that we have at our church. So that's where I learned how to open up to other men. Excuse me, for someone, if you have noise in your background, please press 1 so I can hear some noise on somebody's line. With that being said, you know, that's why I'm glad that Pastor opened up, Pastor did the men's ministry, because that helped me out a lot through the stuff that I was going through, you know, and I thank God for Deacon Moore for introducing me to Pastor David Foster, you know, which is my leader, and like I said, and I tell all the men, we have an awesome men's group, you know, you have the men in our group, they have a little bit of compassion for other brothers. You know, just like I said with me, Jerome, Elder Wilson, that's one thing we have as men. We have that strong, compassionate heart for our brothers. We do not want to see our brothers fall to nothing, to no one. And that's the way it's supposed to be. But it's supposed to be iron sharpens iron. God called us men to be great. And why not learn from men who don't been through some stuff that got powerful testimony, like that testimony Elder Wilson just told, the testimony that I told. I'm that type of brother. I'm not afraid to tell what I've been through. I'm not afraid to tell nobody that, yeah, I cried. It was plenty of nights I cried myself to see that I was hurt because of the things that I went through in relationships, the things that I done when I was out there in the world, the things that I done to women, you know, praying on women, getting what I can and going about my business. Yeah, I ain't always been saved. You know, ain't none of me up here on this show and had always been saved. We did some stuff out in the world we're not proud of, but we can tell what we done. There's somebody out there the same thing that we went through. And that's why we tell the man that comes to the barbershop, we're here. We're not turning no man back. We're not judging you because you did things you ain't have no business doing or it's things that you don't understand, things you haven't been taught. It's okay. But you have that choice now to get things right, to mend your relationship with your wife, to mend your relationship with your kids, to mend your relationship with God and your family. You know, God is now calling us men to take our rightful place, to stand up. You know, if us men would stand up and leap arms together, could you imagine how powerful the churches would be, how powerful our community, our school, our government would be? Yeah, we dropped the ball. I said it plenty of times. We dropped the ball. But we have the chance now to pick that ball up and score a touchdown. Show our family what type of man God has sent us, has, where he brought us from. That's the thing. Don't be ashamed for your past. You know, I'm not ashamed. I've done it. But look what God has brought me to now. You know, I thank God for my past, the trials and tribulations that I went through, because it made me the man who I am today, and I'm still learning. I'm still learning how to be a better man, to be a husband, to be a father, to be a son to my mom and my dad, a brother to my sisters and brothers. I'm still learning. You know, we all still learn. You know, that's why I said men, step up and take your rightful place. Women, let the men do what they're supposed to as men. Instead of beating them down, tearing them apart, lift them up. Ask them, do you need help? If you know somebody that's been through some stuff, you can turn your husband, your boyfriend, whoever it is, introduce them to that person. Tell them, look, I know somewhere you can go get some help from. I know a men's ministry. I know a men's group you can go to. I want you to step up and be that man that God called you to be.
Amen.
You know, so, you know, if anybody else out there that got any questions or answers, I mean, questions or comments, you know, feel free to press 1. Jerome, you got anything on what we've been talking about so far?
No, I'm just sitting back listening. Sometimes you got to take an ear to listen, so I'm just listening and observing.
When he get wide open, he get that spirit on, y'all got to look out. I think that's what he's really trying to do. He told me several times, I'm going to be calm this time. Like I told him, just be yourself. That's what it's all about. You know, I thank God for putting Jerome back into my life. The people who don't know, me and Jerome grew up together from the same neighborhood. And like I said, he's a strong brother. You know, we're good friends. You know, he always had my back when I did things that wasn't right with God. Jerome, he let me know. He didn't sugarcoat it. He didn't bite his tongue. And I thank God for a friend like that who's not afraid to tell me what's right and what's wrong. That's a true friend. If a friend knows you're doing something wrong and don't let you know that's wrong, then he ain't no friend. You know, that's why I thank God for Jerome. I thank God for Ella Wilson, because Ella Wilson has been there for me a couple of times, and I've learned some stuff from Ella Wilson. Like I said, he has some passion for us men to become great. And when you got those type of brothers in your life and that's in your circle, then, you know, you honor that friendship. And that friendship is for life. You know, when you, like I said, when you got friends that can tell you the truth about things that you're doing, the things you shouldn't be doing, those are real friends. They love you that much that they would tell you the truth because they don't want to see you fall to the wayside. You know, and again, I thank Jerome. I thank Elder Wilson for being strong men of God who walk the walk, who talk the talk, but also have that compassion for other people, not just men. They have compassion for people, period. You know, I thank God for them, you know, letting me, for them being on the show with me. I think we got a call on your last four numbers, 0455-0455. You're on the air. Hello?
Good evening to, yes, good evening to everybody. I just wanted to say that I appreciate, you know, all the comments. A lot of times, when I wanted to say this to you as a host, a lot of times, even if, you know, females don't necessarily have a comment, I think just listening and hearing the dialogue is very important. It's good to hear, you know, men such as Elder Wilson say, you know what, men, you know, you may have to, you know, go to that woman and apologize. I mean, to hear a man say, I mean, just to hear him say that tonight, I think broke some things in me. You know, even though I didn't have an apology from, let's say, someone who actually hurt me, but to hear him say that, you know, was just eye-opening. So I wanted to encourage you as the host just to let you know that a lot of times, you know, if you don't receive comments from us, it's not necessarily that, you know, we not paying attention. We really are taking it in. You know, just our presence here is us taking it in. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I also wanted to say that, you know, you pointed out how that, you know, you had the female presence on the show to help the females, and, you know, you brought some gentlemen on the show to help the males. But you know what? It will really help if, like, you know, if you know of females in your community as a male, you know, maybe, you know, and you see them going the wrong way, or you see them talking to the wrong brother, you know. Not everybody is receptive of that, but it may help, you know, for, you know, you to drop a word in her ear as a female. You know, I'm definitely a promoter of men promoting men and women promoting women, don't get me wrong, but I think it does something, you know, it adds a different element to it when you actually, if you're a male and you receive advice from a female, or if you're female and you receive advice from a male. So, anyway, I just wanted to say that I'm very pleased with everything I've heard on the show. I unfortunately was able to tune in a little bit later than I expected, but from what I heard so far, it's blessed. And I thank you all, and I hope you all, you know, continue to do this and continue to keep the dialogue open. Because, and I wanted to add that too as well, I think this kind of forum helps, you know. And I talk to my girlfriends sometimes, and I tell them, like, I wish we could do something like this on a much more broader level. I wish we could, you know, even if we had, you know, some sort of coastal national forum where we could get people together from other states and other cities, mm-hmm. and to sit down and talk, like, you know, about relationships, and definitely not leaving out the fact that, you know, God has to be a part of it all, you know what I mean? So I thank you for this. I thank you for, you know, what God is going to do with all of us in the future.
Thank you for that comment. That was real touching. We thank you for your comment. Trina, what you doing? You might quiet.
I'm listening in.
I need to listen
to as well.
Oh, man. Well, you know, like I said, I mean, I have really enjoyed this show. And since I've been doing it has been a blessing to me and my wife. You know, I just thank everybody who's been praying for the barbershop, keep me lifted up, keep me encouraged. Because it's a little simple thing that I hear. Comments that I hear, the text messages that I get. You know, I know one time before, I don't know if you remember, Jerome, we had somebody that was in the chat room that said something negative to us. But you know, ever since then, we just kept right on going and going and going and going. And we haven't been, I know it's going to be some more people that's probably going to attack us. You know, it is what it is. But this is ordained by God. God has his hands on this show right here. And like I said, it's for all of us. But, you know, my main concern is for my brothers. Because if we help our brothers stand up and be that man that God called us to be with his grace, you know, we'll have a life itself, family. You know, kids will have their fathers back. You know, the women will have their husbands back. You know, the mom will have their son back. Or, you know, a father will see his son growing up to be the man that he's supposed to be. You know, that's why I encourage everybody, you know, to tell somebody about the barbershop. You know, because this is what we do. You know, I have a compassion for me. I had my dad in my life every single day until my dad passed away. Every single day. So I don't know how I feel to be without your father. That's why my heart is so compassionate for the young kids that's coming up today, the one whose dad's not around, or their dad can be in the house and still not be there. But he's so much concerned about everything else and not his family, not his wife or the kids. He just, you know, his mind is on providing, which is nothing wrong with it, but you have a family you have to spend time with too as well. Because like me and Jerome said once before, our sons are looking at us because they want to be like us. Mm-hmm. Our daughter's looking at us because they want to marry a man like their dad. And Jerome gave a good testimony about it. He used to look at his dad like that when he was little. He put his dad work clothes on. He wanted to be just like his dad. So as men, we have to be that example for not just our kids, but for people in general, women in general. We have to be that man that God called us to be. You know, that's what we supposed to be doing. You know, it's just, you know, I enjoy doing it. I do. I really enjoy it. I really enjoy the comments that I get. If I don't get there, so be it. I know I have touched some people's lives already. And that's what keeps me going. Because if I can touch one, the next week I can touch two. The week after that I can touch three. It just keeps going.
Maybe.
It shows up for some, and then you got to look at it. It ain't for everybody. But you got some folks that matter so far gone, but we have to still pray for them.
Amen.
You know, because God is a healer. God is a deliverer. He can do anything he wants to do, what he wants to, how he wants to do it.
Yes.
I might not be able to do it, but I can plant the seed. Jerome might come behind me and water. Elder Wilson can come back and say something. Boom, they did it. That's how it works. That's why I'm glad I got these two men with me. So they have the same compassion heart as I do. I have a compassion heart for everybody. I don't want to see nobody fall to the wayside. I got daughters. Mm-hmm. I got sisters. I got aunts. You know, I got two daughters. You know, my 21-year-old daughter. I got my daughter, my baby girl just turned 15. I don't want to see her get out here and mess with the wrong guy. I don't.
Amen.
I don't. So that's going to be on me as being a father if I don't set the example or say or talk to her and let her know about life. And it's going to be, I'm going to be held accountable for because I'm the man of the house.
Amen.
We should want our kids to have better than where we are. We want them to have better relationships than we are. That's why we tell our kids what we've been through. We tell our testimony. I just told my sons about my testimony and my daughters about me being out there on the road, so they won't go out there and do it. I tell them the things that I've been through in a relationship with women. Tell my son of it, so they won't make the same mistake I done.
Mm-hmm.
I tell my daughter, you don't want to mess with this. I done ran plenty of men off of my oldest girl. I have. And not a thing to say it. You'll tell you.
Amen.
I tell them in a heartbeat, if you're not here to help her become the woman she's supposed to be, it's time you burn the road up.
Amen.
Because if you put your hands on my daughter, then you got to answer to me.
Right.
And I prefer you to go about your business. I told one boy, I said, if you put your hands on my daughter, you better go to the police. But if I find that she's going to beat my daughter, then it's going to be the consequence.
Amen.
When it comes to my girls and my boys, I'm protective of my kids. I know they're going to grow up, but still that father, I want them to have a better life.
Amen.
Amen. You know, that's me. And I know Jerome feels the same way about his kids. You know, old Elder Wilson feels the same way about his
Amen.
Kids. Katrina feels the same way about her boys and church.
Mm. You heard what I said last week. You hear me, Johnson?
I'm gonna run.
Let me cross something that I just had a talk with my daughters last night. Okay.
Okay.
Like I was saying about last week about kids, our kids are trying to play the parents. Okay. Mm-hmm. I took my girls shopping the other day. And they, you know, went and shop picking up clothes. One is 20 and the other one is 12. So they went and picking up clothes. And I'm just paying for them, not really knowing what they buy, okay? So then their mother, I was talking to their mother, she got up. I said, what in the world going on? She said, what's going on with you? I'm not understanding how you let your 12-year-old daughter walk around them halter tops. So I said, hold up now. They said, because Daddy bought them. And she ain't gonna, I swear, no, I didn't know what they was buying. So they was on their way to the house, and when they got there, I said, don't worry about it, I'll deal with this. I said, because they're not going to keep getting me in trouble.
Amen.
So when they got there, you know, I had a talk with them. I said, let me tell y'all something. First of all, I want y'all to understand something. That is not respectable. How
right.
you dress. Now I understand, you know, this is the style for the girls, and I told the older one that you got to watch what you're doing because your younger sister is looking at you.
Mm-hmm.
So you got to be more respectable. And I said another thing, y'all right here picking up clothes, getting me in trouble, and I'm not going to take y'all shopping anymore without your mama. Mm-hmm. Y'all not going to keep getting me in trouble. So then I got to tell them, try to get them to be aware of the situation that's out here in the world today with these pedophiles.
Right.
And these guys out here that are just looking and waiting to try to take advantage of a young female.
Right.
And that's just anything. So, you know, I told them, I said, I don't mind if you're going to wear stuff like that, you make sure you're wearing it around me. But when y'all two go out, you better be respectable. I said, because I'm taking down here like this, I'm making laugh a little bit. I told my baby girl, I asked her, I said, do you love your daddy? She said, huh? I said, do you love your daddy? She said, yeah. I said, well, why you? I said, do you want your daddy to go to jail?
Amen.
She said, huh? She said, huh, what do you mean? I said, do you want your daddy to go to jail? She said, no. I said, well, when you going out there dressing like that, exposing yourself, and if some man look at you wrong, approach you wrong, put his hands on you, your daddy going to jail.
Yes.
I said, I want you to understand that now. So if you love your daddy, want to spend your time with your daddy, and you don't want your daddy to go to jail, y'all better be respectable on how you carry yourself when you're walking out this door when I'm not, or your mama not with y'all. Because I'm telling you now, if the wrong man approach you, a guy, and say anything out the way, also I'm telling you because y'all know how I am. I said, y'all know daddy keep a gun close to him, and he don't mind when it come down to his girls. Nobody better not approach him.
Amen.
Yeah, I
Amen.
Know.
Amen. Amen.
Well, this is what I like about the barbershop. We can come out here and we can just enjoy ourselves, and we can also have a compassion heart for others. You know, we do things seriously, yes, but we do have fun because it's all about helping somebody. You know, it could be somebody out there going through the same thing now, about what Jerome said and I said about our girls. Can change up, can change, can make them so, okay, yeah, this is what I got to do myself. You know, because I want the best for my kids. I want my daughter to be able to marry somebody that's going to be strong. First, he got to have God in his life.
That's
he
right.
Got to be strong. He got to protect them. So like I say, even with Jerome, I know we're not always going to be there to protect our girls. But we want somebody to be able to, where we left off at, for them to take care of them as they become a woman, get married, have kids. We want them to be like we was to our wife and to them. Make sure they encourage them. Make sure they dare for them. Make sure they push them to the highest level they can go to become that woman of God that God called them to be. So, you know, like I said, I enjoyed it. I thank everybody for coming. You know, this, I had fun today. I don't know about nobody else, but this has been an awesome show again this week, like as usual. You know, again, Katrina, I thank you, my sister in Christ, for being here amongst with me, Jerome, and Elder Wilson. You know, I really enjoy having you here, and I know the guys do too. And this is what we do at the barbershop, ladies and gentlemen. We have fun. We're not the ones that all think that they hold more holy than thou. No, we like having fun. I know and Jerome talk plenty of time to have fun. Me and Katrina, me and Elder Wilson, we like having fun. And it's all about we can have fun and also help other people see that being saved, you can still have fun. You can still be yourself. Just don't do the things that you used to do when you was in the world. We have fun. We do.
Amen.
You know, me and Jerome have fun all the time, talking on the phone, laughing, and having a good time. Like I said, these three individuals that's on this show with me, I thank God for bringing them into my life. So this is what it's all about, helping one another, being there for one another. You know, I keep all three of them in prayer just like they do me. And that's the way it's supposed to be. As brothers and sisters in Christ, we're supposed to lift each other up, even the ones that's not saved. We're supposed to lift them up, too. That's why we make the barbershop so comfortable, where you can open up and express yourself. Say what you want to say. We're not here to judge you, but we're here to help you. And again, man, I have really enjoyed myself. We got 2 minutes left. Anybody got in the comments? You know, let's get it out. You know, again, I thank everybody for coming. I really enjoyed everybody. And Katrina, you got anything to say?
Just want to say I thank God for you. You're the best big brother in the world.
Katrina, we love you, sis. God bless you.
Thank you. Love you too.
Roman Rome.
Yes, sir. I'm going to close it out with this right here, bro. I want to say, Binky, Chuck, Binky, all the above.
Yeah.
I love you, man. Love you with all my heart. You my brother,
you.
Elder Wilson. I haven't had the opportunity to meet you yet, but I'm looking forward to meeting you. I told Chauncey that when the Lord see fit, lay on my heart, I'm coming to visit y'all ministry, and I'm looking forward to meeting you.
Amen.
And woman of God, I want you to stay encouraged. As your brother in Christ, I want to say I love you, and you stay encouraged, and maybe one day our paths will cross, and we'll also get to meet one another.
Amen.
So y'all keep me encouraged and y'all pray my strength that God continue to use me to help encourage, influence the goodness of Jesus on the world out here, cause it's trying time and we need to be on post, we need to be on point to do what thus says the Lord.
Yes, amen.
With that being said, like I always say, I thank you everyone for coming. I really enjoyed it. This has been God has really came in and showed out. I don't know about nobody else, but I just feel the presence of God on this show today as you. Katrina, my sister, I love you. I thank you for being there when I was going through. Elder Wilson, my brother, I love you, man. I look forward to doing more things with you with our men's ministry. Jerome, my ace, Kumbu, my road dog. I'll be coming back to Wilson to hang out with you again, but this time I have a proverb 31. I won't come solo this time. Well, that being said, like I always say on Facebook, God loves you and I do too. Y'all be blessed. See you again next Sunday. Peace.
Peace.